I got to ask you this, because everything I see you do is so fun, so interesting, and so not Facebook ads oriented. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of people are talking about Facebook ads are like technicians in lab coats, almost talking to you about all the arcane stuff involved with Facebook ads. While you touch on things like tips and hints and tricks and stuff like that, you do it in a much, you almost do it like a pitch man, really energetic. I would say your number one goal of your videos is to never bore anybody, ever.
Infotainment, that's the goal, because the name of the game is attention. And if I don't have your attention, I can't teach you anything. And if I don't have you emotionally involved and emotionally invested, then you're not going to listen to me. So if I don't have your attention and you're not going to listen to me and you're not bought into the brand that is me and what I have to say, then you're not going to listen to any of the tips that I'll be able to share with you or any of the strategies I'll be able to share with you when you get further down my content ecosystem. So with the top level vlog content that I do, the whole goal is infotainment. And I'm so glad you picked up on that. And it's great because I love talking to other marketers, especially ones that are focused on brand like yourself, DP, because they understand what I'm doing. Not that I need to explain what I'm doing, because I know what I'm doing and I know it works. But a lot of people, you know, disconnect from the scene or that don't really understand, you know, the ins and outs of what it is that I do. They see my content and they're like, I don't understand why he's posting this content. I don't understand what he does or anything like that. And for me, it's just a really good vetting mechanism, because to those people, like, they're not my audience and I don't mind, like, that's fine. And a lot of people, like friends that follow me on that have nothing to do, you know, I might have friends in the medical field, friends that work in insurance, friends that are so disconnected from the business world that I operate in. And they're like, you know, I've had other friends tell me, like, what does Paul actually do? Like, I have no idea what he does. And I'm like, I don't need them to know what I do because they're not my audience.
That's a really good point. I mean, you are, I like to refer to people like you as spicy salsa or hot tea. And here's the thing, you know, long ago when the earth was young, I was an actor, a trained actor and all that stuff. And there is a saying among actors and directors that too big can be brought down, but too small can never be brought up. Meaning, if you're going to do a character, do it big. And then it's up to the director to kind of bring you down a little bit. If you're too mousy, a mouse can never become an elephant, but you could take and shrink that elephant down. That's another way of looking at it.
100%.
You are actively doing a sorting technique for your audience, which is, if you get this, let's keep talking. If you don't, go someplace else. I'm guessing that's a client sorting technique too, which is, if you don't get who I am, don't waste my time and I won't waste yours.
Exactly. And it's all about, so I'm very big on the word quality, right? I learned very early on in my career that I could generate quantity very easily. I know all of the tricks for the vanity metrics. I know how to get thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views on my YouTube videos. I know how to do the same for my articles. I know how to build a 10,000 person email list in a month. I can do all those things so easy. But what I learned, DP, was, oh, I've got this big audience. Look how big my proverbial audience is. And none of them want to buy from me. None of them want to listen to me. But I got this 10,000 person list and I can retarget these 10,000 people on Facebook. But the data's not hygienic. So even if I'm creating lookalike audiences from this 10,000 big dick list that I've got, they're creating lookalike audiences based on unhygienic data points, which is then, ironically, wasting my money, wasting their time, and not generating me any leads and sales. So what I do these days, Dave, is I teach people how to use Facebook ads and digital marketing funnels to generate highly qualified leads and sales. And that's the big thing. And all of my content is focused around the quality, because here's the biggest thing. It all comes down to, like, the you know, the four or the five P's of marketing that you learn back in Marketing 101, I learned years ago. And marketing is just as much about the product that you're selling, but it's more about who you're selling it to. And that who you're selling it to, that person is so important. And the best tip that I can give anyone listening in terms of building their brand is knowing who they are selling to and why they're selling to. But the who is just as important as the why, because if you don't know who you're selling to, then you're just going to be a mosquito buzzing around and pissing everybody off.
No, you are so right. And let me tell you, there are plenty of people who can tell you the how to get 10,000 followers in 30 days. And you know, how many videos have you seen on that? Well, actually, I haven't seen that many because the second I see that in their title, I go someplace else.
And here's to expand on that. Sorry, DP. Here's another way to think about it. Like, cool. Why do you want 10,000 followers? Is it ego? Is it vanity? Like, what are the reasons? Do you want that social halo effect of look how big my proverbial following is? Listen to me. Or do you want to actually put runs on the board? And the other way, and this is a big thing, and like not many people think about it this way, or maybe they do and I haven't heard them. But if you have 10,000 followers on Instagram that you gamified, and they will be real followers. Let's say you're not doing anything dodgy. You've gained 10,000 real followers. But those 10,000 real followers you've gained through, I don't know, posting amazing drone shots, right, of a beautiful beach that you've Lightroomed and Photoshopped to the extreme. And they're the ones that get the most engagement. They're the ones who get you most followers because people like looking at sunsets and people like looking at beaches. Like, we're humans, you know, go on. And I'm not immune to that. But what, and that's part of my brand. I post a few photos like that every now and then just to keep, you know, provide value and just like provide a bit of entertainment and stuff. But if I built my whole audience on drone cinematography or the things that I knew, or let's say I was an Instagram model and I got a wicked butt. Let's say I built like my audience based on my wicked butt and my drone cinematography. Number one, firstly, that audience is already segmented and disjoined. And if my goal is to get that 10,000 real follower vanity metric flex to give me a halo effect, and then I pivot and start posting business content related to what I've actually been trying to sell the whole time, I might have 250 people of those 10,000 people that follow me interested in my business stuff. Because of the way the algorithm works, you're being distributed to all the people that have engaged with you most in the past. And the second you switch up your content, those people are not going to engage, which ironically hinders your growth and your performance and hinders your ability to generate highly qualified leads and sales because you're not even being shown to that, you know, small subset of your audience that actually want to listen to your message. You're being shown, that content is now being shown to the people that engage the most with your other content that you use to gamify the system, to get more followers, to get that bigger proverbial following. And now you're up shit creek without a paddle because no one's engaged in your content. And then you're going from getting, you know, 500 to 1,000 likes per photo to like 22. And then what do? Like, you've just wasted all this time. Whereas you could have just started small. You could have built a small, humble following of 500 engaged quality leads, quality audience members, and then had a conversion rate of say 30% because you built and curated a perfect audience for your niche.
I read a blog post and I can't remember who did it, but the upshot of what he was writing was every time I get an unsubscribe on my email list, I'm happy because that's one less person I have to worry about. That's one less person
taking my ad dollars on.
Yeah, well, exactly. Instead, I can pour out all my energy and love to the people who understand who I am, what I do, and how I do it. I use a metaphor a lot with, or an analogy a lot with people. And ask them a very simple question about their business, their product, their service, or their personal brand and say, are you a species fisherman or a net fisherman? A net fisherman throws out a net, grabs everybody they can, and then sorts through it and then realizes they've got nothing. A species fisherman may take forever to get that fish on the hook, but when you do, it's a trophy that goes up on your wall. And in the case of the services I provide, let's just say I'm not inexpensive when it comes to my services.
I don't doubt that at all.
You know, if I were out there trying to imply that, hey, you don't have a budget, but we could work together, that would be a lie.
100%.
You know, I'm a species fisherman, or you might even say a whale hunter. You know,
yeah,
I'm,
love it.
I'm going out there for that one thing that's going to make my quarter, if you will.
That's it.
The stuff I do here with the podcast and things like that, that's only to let people know who I am, what I do, and how I do it in toto, if you will. Yeah. So
it's marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Marketing,
like,
and branding.
Like, if you like your business meetings quiet, staid, and boring, don't call Paul Ramonda.
100% no.
That guy is going to...
I had a question. Oh, sorry, D. I had a question. I'm just going to keep jumping into, keep opening all these thought loops in my head. And I'm just like, oh, we can talk about this. I had someone ask me, oh, I don't know if it was on a podcast or in real life, or I can't remember, but oh yeah. So I had someone ask me last week, or maybe it was in this week, like, so what do your clients think about your content? And it was a loaded question. And the sub narrative text of the question was like, bro, you're hectic. Like, you're like, and your content's like energetic. And I'm just like, well, my clients, whether they watch my content or not, irrespective of whether they watch my content or not, my long-term clients that I've had for 7+ years, right? They know I get results and we have a great relationship, and I treat all my clients like family and friends. Like, you work with me, welcome to the family, because that's that's what it's like to do business. I'd like love having great personal relationships with all my clients and colleagues, because I exited the corporate world because I hate being told one, what to wear, how to act, how to conduct myself, and how to subscribe to a doctrine that is so archaic. And I'm like, how the fuck on? I don't like doing business with people that have got this corporate shill persona that are completely different after I had a few drinks, which is really like what you see people's true colors. And I'm just like, I feel more comfortable doing the business with people that I trust. And I'm sure that that's like the same on the reverse. So again, to what we were saying earlier, my content and in response to that question with that subtext that I was asked, it's a filtering mechanism. My clients know who they're getting in bed with before they even get in bed with me. They know what I'm like. And the fact that anyone has a problem with my content or I'm not, and I know, like, I'm very polarizing. Like, I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but that's part of my strategy, because I don't want to work with people that can't deal with like what it's like to be around me. And like, I'm lovely and like, I think I'm a great person and like, I'm really caring and I care a lot about the results and I care about my clients so much, but I'm also myself and that's my brand. And if you can't drink that Kool-Aid, then we probably shouldn't work together, because if you want someone that's going to be monotone, that doesn't get excited, that's not passionate, that wears a suit to work and, you know, like is just very calm, cool and collected, I'm not your guy. But if you want someone that's super fucking passionate, super excited, doesn't give a fuck about swearing, like, because I'm just, when I'm super pumped, like obviously like I'm super pumped right now and talks really fast and all the rest of it, I think you guys get in the picture that I'm painting, then work with me.
And that's key, because one of the bumper sticker sayings I love to say associated with nonfiction branding and nonfiction brand diversity is know who you are so you can be it. On my snarky days, I like to say you could go into any bookstore, go to the self-help section, and you can distill down every single one of those books into that phrase. If you know who you are and you are who you are, you will be more successful, more happy, more satisfied, and everything else.
100%.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Know who you are so you can be it. And boy, let me tell you, Paul Raimondo, the dude I'm talking to, the wild man of Western Australia, I really, really appreciate your time and your energy, and everything else.
So DP, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. I just want to leave your listeners with this one last little quote that I wrote a year or two ago, and it's about personal branding. And it's about, I think it perfectly encapsulates my thoughts, opinions, and feelings as to what a personal brand is and how powerful it can be. And my favorite thing about my personal brand is that it's 100% unique and individual, because it's 100% based on me. And when you build a brand that's 100% based on you, you lay the foundation to capitalize on your own blue ocean, a space where you can operate in an uncontested marketplace, free from traditional competitive forces of supply and demand, because none, absolutely zero of your competitors can replicate or clone all that is unique and proprietary to you.
And when your clients are not buying your service, but buying you, the person who does that service, that's when you know your personal brand is working. And that's when you can command a premium place in the marketplace. And 100%. That's when you can be more comfortable in your own skin. We all know people who are walking around. They are the lizard people who, you know, put on a front every day of their lives. And sometimes they may over time succeed beyond what you're doing. But guess why? Because they're doing what they have to do to succeed. You're doing what you have to do to be satisfied, happy, and yourself.
That's it. And 100%. And I feel like on that success thing, and this is that I've been doing the entrepreneur. My birthday is next week, and my business birthday is the day before my birthday. So my business turns 5 years old next week, which is awesome. And the biggest thing that I've learned along the whole course of my career in terms of success, like when I started, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, people starting out kind of go through this, like when the first few years I was very like ego driven. I was very like, I had this chip on my shoulder. I needed to prove to the world that I could do it. I was all about the hustle. No one would outwork me, working 800 hours a week and doing all those things. And I made a lot of money, and more money than, like, I'd scaled my business from zero to six figures in 9 months. And that was like top line revenue sales, obviously, not net profit. And I took a $40,000 pay cut from my steady corporate job and literally like had one client when I started paying that $35,000 Australian dollars a year And I was in complete scarcity mode, like make or break. And I'm always a big fan of, and I truly believe this, like throw me in the deep end and I'll fucking swim. Like I got this. That pressure, that scarcity is really motivating. And as I built the business, I started to make money, and then I started chasing money. And then because I was working so much, DP, that as I was working so much, I had no time really in my life for anything else, including sleep, exercise. So I lost a bunch of weight. I developed really bad insomnia, had a lot of personal relationships in my life breakdown. And I was chasing after this elusive thing that I thought was success. And that was quantified in the dollars that I was seeing in top line revenue and sales. And the opportunity cost of me doing that were, a lot of personal relationships and breaking down. And then like my mental health and then my physical health also breaking down. And then ironically, I would then not have the fuel needed to actually do what I needed to do. So then I started going down the rabbit hole of, drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stimulants to like help me keep going. And I got to one point where I ended up just in a really bad place. Like I had depression for 2 years and I was in a really, and I'm all good, which is awesome. But I ended up in a really bad place. And I always believe that things need to get really, really worse, like a lot worse before, you can have the catalyst event that allows you to reassess and see the forest and the trees and be like, oh shit, I've been looking at this wrong the whole time. And what I've learned in terms of success is for me anyway, it's not about, this is so cliche and it's cliche for a reason, I guess, but DP, I'm sure you'd agree with this. It's not about the numbers or the dollars on your balance sheet. It's not about, the cool things you get to attend or the cool stuff you need to buy. Cause trust me, I made a bunch of money. I bought all the things that I wanted and I was still miserable. And what I've learned in terms of success, it's just so variable to what you want. And if you don't have your own definition of what success looks like for you, you will basically just follow the numbers and follow the dollars, and it can be very, very, very dangerous. And I've learned that when you follow success based on what it is that makes you happy, again, so cliche, and what gets you real rock hard in the morning, like what you want to do, like what motivates you and inspires you. And for me, I've realized that's creating content, helping other small business owners do what I do, helping build their business, helping build their dreams, and helping gift them with the freedom. Because I feel like money equals freedom. And I feel for me, success is freedom. Being able to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, and where I want, and not having to worry about how I'm going to put food on the table or how I'm going to, make it through the next quarter. That freedom and the irony of that freedom, and I'll leave with this, the irony of that freedom, which I've been able to create through my personal brand, is that when you run your own business, you have all of the freedom in the world. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. But the paradox and the irony of that freedom, DP, is that you have to be so responsible to yourself. You have to be so responsible to your own goals. You have to be so responsible to your own routines and taking care of yourself and making sure that you're doing the best job possible, because without any formal structure and no one to be responsible to, and if you're not and because of that, if you're not responsible to yourself, you can lose everything in a few months.
You are so right. Let me tell you, when you know who you are and are truly being it and creating what I love to call your completely true, completely you personal brand, no one in the marketplace can touch you.
100%.
And you have the foundation for the life and the freedom and the priorities that are uniquely you. So once again, what a fantastic conversation with Paul Raimondo, the wild man of Western Australia, Perth, Australia. Where can people follow you, Paul?
DP, firstly, thank you for having me. Really, really appreciate it. Guys, if you've enjoyed this chat, you'd like to check me out, you can check out my website, paulraimondo.com. So that's PaulRaimondo. And it's literally Paul Raimondo on that exact same spelling on every social handle. I'm the most active on Instagram and on YouTube. And if you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, I drop new vlogs every single Thursday, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time Zone. The vlog is on a mid-season break, so it returns on Thursday, the 1st of August. So mark your calendars. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed and turn on those bell notifications so you get notified when I drop new videos. DP, been an absolute pleasure.
Oh my God, you got your outro figured out and dialed.
Done a few times, mate.
Well, once again, I'm DP Knudsen for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and he is
Paul Raimondo. And also, DP, we'll be seeing each other at Social Media Marketing World in 2019. Have you got your ticket? 2020, actually.
Yeah, 2020. I already have my ticket, so yes.
Fantastic. You guys, if you're at Social Media Marketing World 2020 in San Diego, California, then you will see both DP and I, and come have a chat. Let's hang out.
Let me tell you, you will not regret it. Come to Social Media Marketing World and meet a whole world.
It's the best. It's such a great group of people. It's the best. It's I go to a lot of conferences. It's the best conference that I've been to, and I've been going. This will be my fifth year in a row next year. So come check it out. Worth it.
Thanks for listening to the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.